Accession number 30653, Joan King, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about, what about the approach to war? Anything in the years leading up to the war that you remember?
I remember being in, I remember seeing, was it Attlee on the television, said he'd come back from Germany. There was a bit of
Neville Chamberlain.
Well, yeah, Chamberlain. See, I don't remember everything exact. I remember more what happened, but names and dates I'm not good on.
I doubt if it was on the television. I don't think you'd have had
no,
a television.
No, in the pictures.
Gotcha, yeah.
Park News, or whatever it was with that line. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing him and them saying that he'd signed something or other, that there wouldn't be a war. I remember that, because I thought of that when the war came, about 2 years, 18 months later. Of course, everybody said, yeah, they signed that. They'd prepared for war. We had nothing, absolutely nothing.
Now, tell me about do you remember the day war broke out?
Yeah, I remember being in school during the week before, or it could have been a week or just over before the war, in the week prior or the week to that, not long, being given little pictures in school of flowers, wildflowers and things. And then we were told that we would be going away to the country, and this is what we would hope to see. See the nice way they put it? Yeah, and we were evacuated. The week prior to the war actually starting, we were the first, amongst the first lot.
So you were evacuated in before war broke out?
Yeah, in the days before, because before the actual war, you know, before. Not now, on the day, because I remember being down there and seeing...
Now, hang on. What do you remember about the evacuation then? How was it done?
Well, we went to school with our clothes, and with us, we had a carrier bag and didn't have nothing hardly in it. Although we were a bit better off then than we were in the early days, because some of my sisters was at work as well. And we went to school and we lined up in the playground, in the little playground, in the line, didn't go in the building, and we all stood in our class lines. And then we stood there, and then we all walked from Lower Road, Friary Road, Lower Park Road then, from the Catholic school right along to Queen's Road.
Now, were your parents with you, or had they seen
you? No.
Just
nothing
on your own?
Like that. In fact, I don't know if my mother came to the school with us, I can't remember. But we certainly never looked for her, we never saw her when we come out the gate. We were, it's horrible really, but we were all engrossed in our luggage and going down the country. You know what I mean?
Now, what did you take with you?
Well, we didn't have much to take, because my mum always used to wash our clothes overnight and you'd have them on the next day. But we didn't have much, and the nuns were so good to us. They took us in and along, and I remember she gave me a couple of frocks. Oh, and a pair of shoes. And I wasn't the only one, but they were very good, the nuns were, to us poor kids. The kindness that they showed, mind you, she was strict.
Now so what happens? You get to school?
We went, and then we went on the train.
Now what do you remember of the train journey?
Nothing much, just looking out the window, and we was going in the country. I don't think we thought much more than that, and it was a bit exciting to be going somewhere, you know. We were all right. I was 11, getting on for 12.
Did you know where you were going?
No, no one knew where they were going. We got off the upper end and we were took into this hall.
Now, where were you?
Worthing. Didn't know where we were going until we got there.
So in Sussex?
Yeah. And
what happened when you got there? So you took
into
a hall.
They took us in this hall and we still stayed in our lines, because kids were very orderly then. They were all putting lines everywhere they went in a group like that. And all of a sudden, this woman comes along, appears, and she's got a huge folder, a book in her hand. And she calls out her name. She says, yeah, she ticks it off, and she says, come with me. So we just follow her. And we go along the streets, and she knocks at one door, and we're all on the pavement. We don't follow her up. And then she says, comes up and she says, you two, the next two went in there, and the next one went in there. As it happened, I was had two sisters in that line, and my two sisters happened to go in this house, and somebody else went in the next one, and I was in the next one with someone else. I don't know if she even knew we were sisters. But anyway, it was as we were in the lines. You was just the next two. Names didn't count. And that's what I remember of the evacuation. Well, we went in. They gave us in this hall before we left a little packet. And we were told to give it to the woman or in at the house, hand it over when we got there, which we did. And inside it was enough food to give you a meal, because they wouldn't have your ration tickets all ready, right? A bit of food, like a tin of this and a bit of cheese, a bit of butter, and I don't know if there was a tin, but it was just enough to feed you till they could get your ration book the next day. Anyway, that's what we did. Of course, being kids, we wasn't in the house 5 minutes before we was out again, because we lived outside, didn't we? We was going along the road. Nice houses, long garden, very elaborate for us, but we didn't know just what they were like. You didn't notice much your surroundings then, you know, but they were nice.
So whereabouts in Worthing were you? By the coast or?
Just a few, just streets off the coast. Say as far as from, not much further from, about from here to Lee, off the coast.
It's about half a mile.
Well, we went walking along the road, us kids. We were all there and we were out. And these kids started calling out after us, the Worthing kids. As kids were, they started calling out after us, London bug squashers. So, of course, we'd all turn round and they'd run back a little bit. And we called them, quick as lightning, Worthing flea crackers. With us lightning, we thought. So this went on. No one actually got together. And then a woman appeared. Then there was some scrubland. And this woman was a wise woman. She suddenly said to us, "Would you children like to help me to find a key? I've lost a key." Of course, immediately all the kids was looking for a key. They didn't, forgotten all about that. I don't know who found it, but someone was supposed to have found it. Of course, Tom, we'd all been scrabbling in looking for a key. We were all friends. Simple as that. And from then on, we were all friends. No one ever said a word against each other. Simple as that. This woman, wasn't she a wise woman, though? Look for my key. We were friends after that. All the calling out had been forgotten. Yeah, that was it. And then we went back for our tea.
Now, what was your billet like? Can you describe the house you were staying in?
Well, it was quite a nice house. You know, you see them. It's a newish house, and it had a garden. Quite a nice garden, back and front. And the people we went to were, I should think they were a youngest couple. They seemed old to you do at 12, anyone over 16 is old. But they were a young couple, and they had a baby. And they were nice people. We were very fortunate.
Now, how did they treat you? I mean, how kindly or otherwise?
Well, you see, I must say this, in those days, and we experienced it wherever we went, indoors, outdoors, children were never spoken to. And you would never dream of speaking to an adult unless they spoke to you. You know how kids speak to adults, speak to their teacher, even speak to your own parents, you wouldn't speak to them unless they spoke to you. So although they didn't have a lot to say, it was the average way of kids. You sat at the table. No one would... They never spoke to us. We never spoke to them, but that's as it was. Children were... You often, if you did try, but children are to be seen... What is it? Seen and not heard, and they carried it out. Adults didn't talk to kids like they do now.
But they weren't cruel.
No,
or
they
in
were
any way,
nice as anything. That woman was as nice as anything. She even made me a nightdress. That was a thing I'd never possessed before. And she gave me a hat, go to church in, another thing that I'd never possessed. And they were really... I don't ever remember the husband even looking at us, let alone talking to us. I think he must have worked nights, because she never saw him, only at that evening meal. Nice people. And I didn't stay there long.
Did you start school while you were there?
Yeah, we went to school, but of course it was different because...
Now, you were waiting on your exam results, so did you, you miss that?
That was all gone, forgotten, that's all. Because the that was all gone and forgotten. I didn't stay at school long, you see. I was only there a matter of a couple of weeks on the evacuation.
So what happened then? What happened? You were there 2 weeks.
No, well, it couldn't have been much longer because Maisie Green told the teacher on the Friday, that's a girl, I shouldn't have mentioned her name. I don't like mentioning people's names, so I say things. But anyway, that was her name. That I ate meat. We went back to school. We used to walk home to midday meal. Everyone had their dinner midday, didn't they, then? And the worst thing she could have said, she put her hand up and said, Miss Joan ate meat. Well, we didn't eat meat on a Friday then. Not Catholics. But anyway, the teacher was very wise. She just overlooked it. She never said anything. But I was there. Yeah, I was there. But one thing that did was different for me, I'd always read a lot. Lots and lots of books. I was always reading. And I belonged to the library.
At Worthing?
Before I went there. And I'd always... We only ever had one book indoors. And it was called... what was it called? I've always remembered that, but I can't remember it at the moment. It's a Dickens book. And I'd read it 1,000 times. So, of course, when the libraries... I got old enough to join the library, 7, I went there. And I would have 2 and 4 books a week. Forget I was a bookworm. Well, of course, when I went there the next day, she said, the day we got there, we was all right, left home all right, never even looked for our parents. But I always remember it. We were sitting, never thought of your family, nothing. When we were sitting at that first meal, that day we got there, that song, Good Night Children Everywhere, came on the radio. Have you heard that song? Well, they do sing it now. I've heard it. So, Good Night Children Everywhere, your mother thinks of you tonight. What is it? Don't be a kid or a weeping willow. Close your eyes and say a prayer. Something like that. Well, the tears started streaming down my face at that song. For the first time, I was reminded that I wasn't going home and that my family were. And every day from then on...
See, that made you homesick.
Yeah, when I sat at that table, it never stopped. It never stopped. Anyway, my mum came down. Oh, I couldn't. And I went to the library to join the library. You know, you have a card that your mother has to sign, or your father. Well, this woman had to sign it because I was down there, and she wouldn't sign it. She never said why. They never explained things to kids in those days. She never said why. She said, no, I'm not signing. So all my books were gone. All the school was up the wall. And I was miles away from home. But I never said anything because children didn't say anything. But I got thinner. And I suppose when my mother came down to see us 2 weeks later, she must have seen the difference in me. And she said, coming on the beach. And we went on the beach. And she just said to me, would you like to come home? And I just said, yes.
And when was that?
About 2 weeks after we went there.
Probably still September then.
Yeah. And that's my evacuation. That's how I was in the Blitz, wasn't it?
So you were back in London then? Yeah. Back in Peckham?
Yeah, well, we lived at Nunhead then. We'd gone up to Nunhead by then.
Where's Nunhead?
We'd gone from Meeting House Lane, from Love Park Road to... I forget the name
of the road. That's in Peckham, Love Park
Road. Yeah. to another road in Peckham, and then we ended up at Haymill Road, then we ended up at Nunhead.
And Nunhead, where is Nunhead?
Well, there's a Nunhead Cemetery, it's the other side of Peckham Ride, you know Peckham Ride?
Oh, right, I know where it is, yeah. Okay.
Nunhead Lane, or then at the back, but it's not a very big place, you could walk around it. We lived in Nunhead then.
Now, what was your house like there? Or accommodation, you know?
Well, when we first went there, we had the upstairs flat. They were in two flats, these houses. They were right opposite the cemetery. My mother always said that she reckoned they were built originally for the grave diggers. We had the upstairs flat. We went up one there. We had two bedrooms, three bedrooms, and a kitchen and a scullery, which now would be called kitchen. That kitchen would be called a scullery, and the living room. So we went up a bit there. We were, because my sisters had started work, a few of them, so we were just getting on all right when the war came. But anyway, I went back there, and I went back to school. Couldn't wait to get there. Had a shock of my life. Because don't forget, all the teachers were evacuated, will you? Where were we? In one room, with all kids of all ages in the same room. And the teacher did her best. She gave us each a bit of work to do. But don't forget, I absolutely loved school. And I liked the work, I liked learning, I liked everything. I couldn't go back there. It wasn't school. School had gone. So I went there a couple of days, didn't go anymore. Then later on, went back a couple of days, hadn't improved, it was still the same. So I just did, that was the end of my schooling, 12 years old, when I was nearly 12 years old. Changed my life, that did. Absolutely changed my life. Because my mum always said that being as I was one of the youngest, I could have gone on to study. Being as I was one of the younger ones, and she had some. Changed my life, that did, because, and I, of course, I went back to the library. I was getting books by the dozen. And they didn't have it's there now, Nunhead Library. I don't know if they've altered it, but they didn't have many, a big section for children. And I noticed, and then all the books had brown or green covers, hard covers on them. You didn't get all the colours that you get today in the library. Like those heavy books we've got there, brown or green, heavy, what's it? And of course I waded my way through the lot, you name them, all the Jane books, the William books, every book you could think of. But that was all right. But my dad was in the heavy rescue squad. I told you, that squad that's never
now,
been mentioned.
It wouldn't be yet, because that's 39 still. When did he join them?
Wait a minute. What? Where are we in now? 39?
Yeah.
Well, we must have gone on a bit. Well, he joined the heavy rescue squad when I was going to that. He was at the heavy rescue. I'll tell you when he was at the heavy rescue. When my sister's first child was, we had a first grand. When? Oh no, I was about 14. Well, what? When would you have joined the heavy rescue?
1941.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not sticking to the exact date, am I?
So we'll come back to that when you're there. So yeah. What were you doing? You left school in 1939, and what were you going to do? I mean, could you work then? Or?
Oh, no.
So you were just staying at home and going to the library?
And yeah, and I suppose you might think, because if you had time off school before then, when I was young, if you stayed off once, but if you stayed off twice, you'd have the school board man knocking at the door. Well, that all went to pot with all that war and evacuees. I suppose, for all they knew, I could have still been down there. There's up here, you know, then all that. But anyway, no one bothered me. I think I got...
Now, how did the war affect your life before the Blitz started? I mean, other than the education thing, I could see that made a big difference. But what about
my life completely, because I didn't have the education that I needed. Not that I wanted, that I needed. Well, I just used to stay at home and...
Well, tell me about rationing. When did the rationing start?
Oh, the rationing was on, yeah.
How did the food rationing work?
Well, actually, there was a black market, wasn't there?
Well, tell me how it was meant to work, and then tell me about the black market.
Well, you had a little bit of marge. I don't know the exact amount, because I wouldn't have worked it out, but it was a very little amount of marge, about 4 ounces butter or marge, a little bit of sugar, about one egg a week, tiniest little bit of meat you've ever seen, about 4 ounces. And, well, my mother was, you know, raked round as much as she could, but halfway through the week, instead of having a cup of tea, she'd run out of sugar. If she'd managed to get a pot of jam or a bit of treacle, you'd have a bit of that in it. And as the week went on, you'd have a cup of cocoa with treacle in it or jam in it, you know. But we'd never overdone it with the food. We were too poor. So, you know what I mean? It wasn't so we'd lived on.
So the black market wasn't much use to you. You didn't have any money for it.
Well, then, yeah, we was a bit better off then because my sisters worked. What the black market to mother was, there was a lot of people that couldn't afford to buy them rations. And I tell you this much, it was the women who had the husbands in the forces. And that's who sold a bit of their coupons to, what's it? Not big black market. Those women that had a few kids, old men were in the forces, they couldn't afford to buy all that. So they sold a bit of their coupons to get the others. That's where my mum got the... She used to get a bit of extra margin, but we were still rationed. You still had hardly any meat. I kept on, as I got a bit older, I moaned about the rations, obviously. And I said, what about getting... spaghetti, well, she got the spaghetti, cooked it and gave it to me as it was, nothing on it. No, that was it. Well, you couldn't go anywhere.
What about clothes rationing? Did that affect you much?
Oh, yeah, you didn't have many, if you bought a frock, that was your lot. Or if you didn't buy a frock, you bought anything else. Used to buy, as I got a bit older and went to work, you bought. There again, you bought coupons off these people that couldn't afford to use them. And if you went down East Lane, you'd get a frock now and again, and they'd let you have it without coupons, you know, and on these stalls, you know, all that kind of thing. And of course, you paid a bit more for it. But no, you just stayed at home and.
Now tell me about air raid. Did you have a gas mask? Do you remember being issued with a gas mask?
Yeah, we went down to the library and got them.
Now when was that? That was before the war? Or?
No. It was once the war started. Otherwise we would have had those gas masks when we was evacuated.
But you didn't?
We didn't, no.
So what do you remember about getting your gas mask? How did it work?
Well, we went down the watch it and you put it on over your face. And we didn't like them, obviously, but you it was in a little cardboard box. With a kind of a string to go over your shoulder, and you had to carry that at all times. Carried it everywhere, and you had to have it with you in case there was a raid that lay, you know, gas everywhere. And rationing, women spent nearly all their time after food. If they found out some shop had something that wasn't rationed. Even to anything, because nothing was plentiful, they'd all be lining up for this, lining up for that. I'll tell you one thing, though, if a woman came in that queue, and it didn't matter how long they'd been standing there, if a woman came in that queue that was obviously pregnant, she went to the front. There was a strong feeling of looking after each other. That woman, they might have been standing there for an hour. She came, and you can tell when a woman's pregnant, because quite a few of the young women were, because they nearly all seem to have babies when their husbands come on leave. You know, it was the way life was. But that woman went to the front, no question. a strong feeling of looking after each other there was.
Now, what about air raid precautions before the Blitz? Did you have a shelter in Anderson?
Yeah, we had Anderson's shelter in the
garden.
Now,
what was it? Can you explain what it was?
It was made of corrugated iron. And it all went like that. And it was grey. And there were bits in there, and then there was a bit shaped like that. Right?
A half circle.
Yeah. And there was the door. There was no door on it, but there was a opening for the door.
A door frame?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a door frame on it. This was all corrugated iron. And you got the iron, nothing else, all bolted together. And there was just a gap from... And it was set into the ground about so many feet deep. And there was just the opening for the door, nothing else. No door, no door frame, because it was just the iron. And we slept in there for a certain length of time. But we slept on the earth.
There's no bunk in there?
No. We weren't used to being provided for like that. We had a cover on the earth. It had been an old bedspread or an old blanket or an old anything put on the earth, and we all laid in a line. My father, but you always called, I'm a Londoner, you always called your father the old man then. He went in first and laid at the end, mother next, and each one of us next. And that was your lot. Talk about a bunker. That was our shelter.
And it wasn't... How damp was it in there? Because some of them...
It was damp. Don't worry about that. Wonder we wasn't all laid up. And the dog. Oh, the dog came down. Because one of my sisters had a boyfriend. Where he got it, I don't know. Gave her a huge bar of chocolate. Unheard of. And she never offered us a bit. And you wouldn't ask. You was taught that very strongly when you was kids. Poor as you were, or anything else, you never let anybody else outside your family know that you hadn't had anything to eat. You never let anybody outside your family. They had great pride, but you never asked for a thing. So even though it was our sister, it wouldn't occur to us to ask. And she never offered us a bit. And you know what happened to it? The dog got it in the night and chewed it all up.
Now, what about the blackout? How did your mum black out the flat?
Oh, they got black curtains. You had to have the blackout up, yeah. Otherwise, you wasn't allowed to show a light. Otherwise, you'd have the air raid warden knocking at the door if you had the tiniest chink of light. Of course, if you went out, it was all black and dark. And they did fetch out some torches that were like a pen, and they had the faintest beam of light. But of course, the blackout was the blackout. Yeah, our old man was in the heavy rescue when those raids were on.
That's a bit later still.
Now, is it? Yeah, because I'm galloping. I'm not watching the dates, am I?
Don't worry.